together. Come on. While I pray, no matter. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your prayer. Break out your word. You're going to break out some praise. Last time, when somebody clapped your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
This means war. Well, welcome, family. Welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn, live from the Now Network Studios here in California. Yes, join us weekly for this variety of Real Talk discussions, and we are staying on the basis of violence right next door. And we're going to include many messages, many guests, and many different opinions, and a lot of solutions to address every comment or every subject that the Lord gives us. And yes, but here's our first disclaimer here at the Now Network. Family, we are fully devoted to Jesus. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. With open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man at every given opportunity. And yes, through works of charity and by actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and we will, that's a promise, reach the lost and unsaved. Real Talk with Pastor E. Family, this is a hot topic that we've been on the last couple of weeks about human trafficking, which is another form of abuse. And there's been many questions, many things of coming forward, and just want to share a couple of things that through prayer and through supplication the Lord has shared this week for us to launch part three of human trafficking on your block, not next door, on your block. No, it could be even next door. But we look at even just human trafficking, but we look at that word abuse as being a known additive to our society today. It could either be physical, emotional, verbal, sexual abuse, which we're talking about in human trafficking. It can be events that underlies the psychological problems. It can include a lot of codependencies, and these types of abuse have become so prevalent in our society that it becomes significant. And anything that becomes significant, it either is to the good or to the bad. We're finding that the abuse is, and we've known forever that it is a negative side, but now with more information and more areas and avenues to be knowledge, we thank God that we can. But unfortunately, we can search the Bible, and people always come back and try to say, well, why is that not the Bible? Well, you know, it is if you look deep enough. But we as believers have to know personally, we have to know what are the situations that we've been through, and what are the situations that we see around us that we've never said anything about, that now we see it and say, wow, if I just would have said something 5 years ago. Yeah, that's when those 5, 4, 3 catch up to you. If I would have said something 10 years ago, I saw that. Many of us may be scratching our heads today, because we're in such a different place and saying, wow, if we would have known. Well, we did know, we just didn't say anything. And that's where I went before the Lord, because I could be the first guilty here to say I should have said something. I should not have allowed that. I was right there. I could have grabbed. I could have stood in the middle. I could have done something to avoid that violence to go on in my arena. But how could the pot call the kettle black when you're abusive yourself? either verbally, either financially, or things like that. It has to be a real light shining on this, on these subjects that we're talking about, because if you look really deeply, even though you did not get caught, or even though it wasn't something so elaborate or something so convicting as a lot of others, we probably can all admit that we're just as bad as the next person. Now, I can confess that today because I've been on that side, but on this side where Jesus reigns, I can say today that I'm thankful that he forgave me. I'm thankful that he sacrificed for me, but I am still, was still guilty, and I had to repent for my sins. And now, and continually have to confess, my God, to my brothers, to my family, to the Lord, that now we can really be transparent and really see that we can do better. Now, we're going to talk about today about new direction, new visions and things like that. But I want to tell you now, in the now, you can do better. Be encouraged that you can change right now. Be encouraged that it doesn't have to stay the way it is. Be encouraged that no matter what you may be going through, you don't even know why you decided to join in tonight, or why you stuck around and you sound like a semi-sermon, but you're still here. It's because God is reaching out to you to say he has your best interest at hand. Please forgive those that have blocked you. Please forgive those that are still in your way. Forgive those abusers that, with the verbal hits and the emotional and the sexual and the physical abuses, that we separate ourselves from anything. This is true freedom, family. When we separate ourselves from anything that is not pleasing unto God. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish to do. Oh, somebody gonna catch that in there. That a lot of these things that we do, it's really us that are in control that can either say yes or say no. No, the devil didn't make you do it. You could not went down that way. You could have said no to that ride. You could have said no to that club. You could have said no, but because of the things that we've accepted and the things that we are willing to go through for self-pleasure, we find ourselves led into areas and we get hurt and we get damaged. I bind that right now, that we can remove the need of self, that we get around those that are not conscious and that have not came over and that are still battling with things. And understanding that most people that are doing is because it was done to them, and that's all they know what to do. That doesn't condone anything. No, abuse is wrong in any form. Violence is wrong in any form. But when we really get down to it, we have to realize that most people that you see doing things, they're not the initial root of it. I'm going to throw a curve at this one, because that could have been that one time you could have said no to somebody and blocked that curse. You could have blocked that movement. You could have stopped the family line of abuse. Excuse me. Woo, got caught up on that one. That could have been that one time that I could have gotten away that stopped that chain. Woo, that's deep there. That's how this must be looked at. If we're all going to get healed from this, if we're all going to become redeemed to this, and if we're going to all watch this, allow God to heal us, and not tomorrow, but allow God to heal us now. There's no excuse. There's no reasoning. I'll give you a for instance. A lot of people say Bible doesn't have a lot of for instance, but if you remember the story about Joseph was put in a bad situation, not because of who he was, but because of who his father favored him as. And then by him opening his mouth and sharing the dreams that God had given him, it put him in a very, very, very peculiar situation. Because remember that when Jacob favored him and put the coat of many colors over him, Joseph let his own arrogance grow and thought now it's time for him to speak the dreams that have been given to him, to his brothers. And all that did was aggravate the envy that had started with the coat. Now, it doesn't make it right that they went left field and put him in a ditch and sold him into slavery. It doesn't. But what it says is a lot of times we set up ourselves for situations if we just would have held our peace, if we just would have said no and understand the importance of saying no. I want to pray that the spirit of no grows in this network. It grows in this covenant, and it grows through this broadcast, through all out the land, that we all learn the importance and the significance of saying no. Oh, if I would have known this lesson, if someone would have sat me down and taught me the importance of those two letters, no. I could tell you 99.999% of things that I went through in my life, I'm not talking about the results of those things. I'm saying me going into the action of doing them, 99.9% of those things could have been avoided by the two-letter word no. So I pray today that as we get ready to bring in our co-host, this minister, Carolyn, and our guest who's ever on board today. I'm not even looking at the board right now, so I don't even know if there's one, two, or three on here. I know Minister Carolyn's here. I'm going to click over in 1 second after I pray, but I just want to speak life into each and every one of us, that no matter what it is that you've been through just recently, the pain and the hurt that you had to endure, even though it seemed like it was supposed to go away, and even though it was supposed to be forgotten, and even though you maybe even set yourself up to tolerate it again, I want to charge one person today that you are the agent of change for the abuser. Your next move, your next answer, your next reaction is going to be so important in the change of the abuser. We cannot let this sit. We cannot just heal one side. We cannot just look at one side. We have to, watch this, favor those that need favor, but we need to help those that need help. And we can't let the epidemic continue. It's up to each and every one of us to stop the chain, to stop the break the chain, to stop the epidemic, to stop. And I believe if we share that one word, that one two-letter word, that one two-letter word to most people and teach the significance and the power of it, know that we could change some things. So Heavenly Father God, we thank you today. We thank you that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not by agenda, it's not by ratings, it's not by self, but it's by your glory that we sit here and say, Lord, have your way. Take away anything that's not pleasing to you, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Empty of us of self. Empty of us of planning and structure right now, Lord. Release us to be nothing that you could be something. Reign right now through this broadcast, through the airwaves, through the Holy Spirit right now, that we all agree that you are Lord of Lords, King of Kings, no one greater. And we worship you today in spirit and in truth. Have your way today, Lord. We decree and declare now as we go forth to leave this place different than we came. We will not be the same. We will leave changed. We will leave rearranged, and we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And in Jesus' name we pray, and all in agreement said, amen, amen. Good morning, Minister Carolyn. How are you, woman of God?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm sitting here. I just had a breakfast meeting with two youngsters from out of town. One is from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the other is from 8 Mile, Detroit. And we were talking about this human sex trafficking thing. So I thought that today we could go on how the human sex trafficking trade has gotten involved with the gangs, the gang ties to the human sex trafficking. And even in the studying that I've done, it showed that they're using it as a business now. Some gang members are using it as a business, and they're exploiting the female gang members.
That ain't new.
And they're doing
that's
it.
Been in the, look, that's over. Been in the game. That's been in the game a long time. We just now noticing
right.
it.
Right, and that how they're using it over the internet. That's how they're selling the girls. And what's the other one? Craigslist. And I thought, well, I knew the gang members have been doing that, and, you know, it started slowly leaking out a couple of years ago. But I didn't know that they were using the social media sites to do it. So I wanted to touch base.
Girl, they they're using
well
Facebook. They use Facebook and Instagram more than anything now.
Uh-huh.
If you ever notice on Facebook, there's ads always pop up. I encourage people, don't even check. Get a friend request. You can look at the picture and tell it's not real. You can look at the name and see it's
right.
not real. But it's a whole business on the internet, and it pops up all the time. We just have to be cautious not to go there. But it is out there, yes.
Yes, so Enoka was coming back. I believe she's online. And she was also going to talk about the gang involvement in the sex trafficking world.
Well, amen. I'm going to bring the woman of God in and let you guys go from there, and then I'll come back in and communicate with you. Good morning, woman of God. How are you?
Good morning, everyone, and thank you. It's such an honor and a blessing and a privilege to be able to do God's work, and I really liked your prayer and just your commitment.
And bravery.
What were you saying? I'm sorry. Hello?
Excuse me. That's my
hello?
Fault.
Look,
check this out. I hit mute on Minister Carolyn because she was having a side conversation, but I mute myself too. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing good, and I am just so excited and about the things and the work that you guys are doing and just tackling this, because a lot of times our religious affiliations are in the background, but you guys are putting this in the forefront, and I'm so excited that, you know, to be back here. So as she was talking about the games, it's been, like you said, it's old school. That's where it started with the, you know, you think about back in the day, the mafia, different organizations that we grew up around in our neighborhoods where there was always organized crime, trying to solicit young girls, even through their parents. I tell people that sometimes the parents were selling the kids out, and especially if the mom was in the trade. So
right.
It's not a new problem. It's just got a new label.
Well, you know, that's
and
the thing that's kind of really, really obvious is that because we have social media and smartphones and stuff, but when you really look back, I'm telling you, this stuff that's really been going on is just being exposed now. And that's a good thing, that now things that are coming to the light, that we can start to really expose more and not be afraid and be a pioneers. Well, I like that we're pioneers of something that's never been done before,
yeah.
that we could get some results. I'm really big about results and being effective about the things that God has called us to do. So that's what it's all about. Now, so she said you wanted to share some. I'm going to give you a moment to just go ahead and take about 5 or 10 minutes and share, or and then I'll bring her back in to that you guys could communicate in that area, or if that's good, or what's the deal? Is
yes.
that good?
Well, one of the
cool.
things is that people is when the games first got involved, because they did. You're talking about all local street gangs who are used to fighting territories dealing with drugs. And so when they started off several years ago, it just didn't, it's not 2019 that they've got involved. This goes back to, I would probably say, like 2003, that you began to see little acts of gang members joining in the human trafficking arena, and especially in the Bay Area, where they used to call it snatch and grab. And they were snatching young girls off of the bus stops on their way to schools, and that's how they were getting most of them. They were snatching and grabbing. And I know there was an incident in LA County several years ago where they were snatching and grabbing and putting them in a warehouse, and breaking them down until they could get them, sold or, into the industry. But the girls that I have had a chance to interview were saying it was very vicious and violent. And even what you would call your old school pimps, they didn't even want to be connected or involved with the games because they were saying that there was a code of, believe it or not, a code of ethics of the way you handle things. But they were saying, the old school pimps were saying, we don't snatch and grab women. We groom them and coerce them and we promise them things. But the gang members were, and some of the gang members that I had a chance to talk to, they were saying that part of sometimes the initiation for girls was to sleep with multiple people. So they looked at, you know what, they're doing it already. Their mentality was, they're doing this already. They're sleeping with us already. Why not sell
right.
them? And
right.
it's easier to move a body than the drugs. And they were making, so you say you have two or three girls, and they're working 15, 16 hours, 24 hours, the amount of money they saw that they could make. And then by the time law enforcement got involved, that person has to be a witness. But they're so terrified that a lot of times they wouldn't even talk or tell you. They would be, what organizations they were into. And then law enforcement started getting hit because these guys were branding the girls, putting brands on them. With a tattoo, our old school branding, like you would brand a slave or you would brand an animal, they would do this. So that's with how we kind of start seeing certain brands on girls and knowing that they were affiliated with certain organizations. And they would come to Riverside County big. And the reason what makes Riverside County so, I would say, appealing to gang members and human trafficking is because of our trucking corridor, the casinos. It's one of the highest areas for group homes, foster care. And so that's what drew them here, and the truck stops, with the truckers stopping, passing through. And they would have girls as young as 12, at these truck stops, and they would be watching from a distance. When you were also talking about social media, girls that I interviewed, and this was new to me, I would say, aren't you scared out on the street? Aren't you scared, that someone's going to hurt you or kill you? And they were like, no, because when we're out there, whatever gang they were affiliated with, let that person know, you do anything, we're from here. And that was another reason the gangs got involved, because the people who were buying these young girls or males, they knew if I do anything, these gang members are going to come after me.
Right.
So
right.
You had not only the victim scared, you had the people who were the Johns also scared of, so they had that market of attempt. It was intimidation. So, and when you're talking about human trafficking, there's so many different forms and levels of people who are the perpetrators that are actually doing this. We've had people, a guy who's called the bicycle pimp, because he rode a bicycle and was trafficking girls. So, you've had people, and one of the biggest markets that people won't even realize for human trafficking is girls with learning disabilities and who are cognitively delayed. We found a lot of the gang members recruit those girls, because
yes.
when you go to interview a young lady who has a disability and who's cognitively maybe has the mind of a 10-year-old, it's
right,
very
right, right.
difficult to convict someone. So, and then again, like I was saying, with the social media, these girls, a lot of them were doing chat rooms where they would have these gang members set up a room, a PayPal machine, and the girl would do all sorts of acts, never leaving, going on the street, and people would just be
watching the video.
Yes. And so when I would interview and tell these girls the dangers of being on the street, and when this young lady said, I'm not on the street, I make up to $800 a night by doing videos for hours while men swipe their credit cards on a PayPal, and then I split it. We split the money and my take. So I was saying, when we got her, if she had over $1,700 on her, she's 15 years old, iPhone, she had a bag full of every kind of toy, whatever, 15 years old with that kind of money. If her take, if she had $1,700, think about how much money they made off of her.
Off of her, yeah.
Just off of her.
Right,
and
exactly.
And so those were things that we're tackling. See, the old way is when these girls are walking up Figueroa or different avenues. These guys are having these girls in warehouses. They're renting out huge warehouses and compartmenting them off and having them do the most horrendous acts, and people are paying to see this all around
right.
the world. So those are some of the things that we've had to experience, things that we've had to deal with. And the gang members are seeing it. They're making more money with human trafficking than it is selling drugs. But the sad part is when they get caught, they don't realize that these are federal now. These are federal charges. And that's where I see the breakdown in the gang members is, yes, they're savvy, but they're not educated on the system. And when you end up getting 50, 100 life, and you're like, but I didn't
yeah,
really
in
do
the
anything.
Feds. Yeah, in the feds especially.
Yeah, because you know, you're talking about old terms like racketeering, and you're talking about violence, and you're talking, and it's every form of abuse on the spectrum from emotional, physical, neglect, because a lot of these girls, you know, they feed them, they take care of them, and if they don't do what they need to do and make the money that they need them to make, they're severely abused. And how they now, how they're getting them in 2000, we're moving up to 2015 to now, how they've gotten them, they still are a little violent, but they're not as violent. They're starting to use a lot of social media, you know, and they make it glamorous. And so you have these girls who are 14, 15, all the way to 21 that, you know, are, you know, they think they're going into a life of glamour, you
right,
know, and
right.
our social media promotes that, where from you have things like Love and Hip Hop, or you have a Cardi B who was a stripper, and these girls have this fantasy of they're going to be just like these people. They watch these movies, and they actually think they're going to become movie stars, or they're going to meet important people who are going to open up doors for them, and it becomes, instead of a fairy tale, a nightmare. And
right,
most
right,
of the girls,
right.
the same story is over and over, is that they promise me this, they promise me that, and then they're stuck in the game, and they don't know how to get out of it.
Well, you know, I was having a conversation with some people in Compton this week, and well, one of the things that they're dealing with is now the abusee turns into the abuser, and that's their way out now, is to start their own gang, their own network, and their own setup. So now the one who was being abused has now become the trafficker and is now exploiting women on their own, because that's where they came from. It's like an epidemic that turns around. Do you see a lot of that?
Oh, yes, because what we would have is, say we would have a girl who was trafficked, and that her pimp would tell her, he knew she was in foster care. I had a pimp bring a girl back and said, she can't, you know what, she had so many, they had just destroyed her,
uh-huh.
that she was making them lose money. They brought her back to our CPS office. And so,
it's tickling. That's not funny,
like,
our guests.
You know,
we're not laughing
was,
at that, but that
but,
is, my God.
And it was like, and the ignorance about the pimp was, now I have your phone number, I have your license plate, and yeah, we end up, you know, he end up getting charged later, but it was like, you know,
oh, I should have had my applaud button
These
on
girls,
that one.
The girl
oh, hey,
ended up becoming a recruiter. She ended up becoming a recruiter. intruder, and that was
right.
so sad because he brought her back, and in order for her to get back in the game, we had placed her. She recruited a 10-year-old and a 9-year-old and took them to this pimp.
Right.
You know, and we had no clue it was her who had did it until she got mad like 2 or 3 months later and told everything. And these two young girls had been, you know, missing. And so these girls are coming back because then that way they want to make their pimp or whoever in the organization proud and happy, and they manipulate.
Right.
They tell the girls about all the parties, all the things that they've done, the clothing, and they know how to coerce you. And then
yeah.
one of the things is that we were struggling with, do we charge them or how do we help the ones that are now so
caught up in so much trauma.
There's
well, you know, that's
so
what, but that's what happened this week. That's what happened this week. I was on Long Beach Boulevard, and normally, you know, I dress hoodish kind of, and then so normal as a pastor. And a lot of times I'm out there, and a lot of the young ladies won't talk to me. And most of the time is because he's down there. Well, yesterday the lady just was open and bland. I was leaving Sylvia Nunn's Angels talking to the director there, and I was talking to the young lady right there standing by the store, and she was talking back, and I said, "Oh, you don't have somebody watching you?" She said, "No, this is my thing, they're mine." She started pointing out four of them, two to the north and two to the west. She said, "I run this." I said, "Huh?" She said, "No, this is my thing." She said, "Yeah, I used to be out here, but I ain't out here no more. I got my own crew." And,
yeah.
and it was that blunt. She said, "No, nah, I'm not worried about you. Now we don't have you because most pimps don't talk to him." He looks like a pimp. You know, he's dressed. He got, you know, he's clean. He's you know, the stereotype. And, but she was so blunt about it. She said, "No, I do this now." She said, "That's how I got out. I started my own crew. I started in New York. Then I ran to Florida and I ended up out here and now I'm on my own and won't turn back." And she let me play
yes,
with her
and,
though.
And,
but,
and that is true. You're starting to have more females in the game. And they can be as vicious as the guys.
Yes.
They can be as vicious and violent as the guys that are pimping these girls because they've learned. That's where their training has come from.
Yes.
And the cop sometimes is not looking for that. And they know the game. They know to say, "I was a victim." And so one of the programs that's in San Bernardino that they were doing, they've partnered up with the DA's office with Child Welfare in San Bernardino County. And what they do is they offer the girls, they stay in juvenile hall, but they're not charged if they go through a program. They're not criminally charged if they're underage. They're not going to charge them if they're going through a program because the biggest thing was the recruiting. We would have girls come back and recruit. And
right.
so we have to start training. You have to start training the people who were caring, the foster parents, you know, telling them, let the girls know, you know, that if anyone tries to solicit them or whatever, to let, you know, to tell someone, because a lot of these girls that were recruiting, someone knew that they were recruiting who said no, like you said in the beginning,
right,
but
right.
didn't say anything. And then they've taken these girls, and one of the damaging things is now not only this girl you promised a life of glamour, you take her out, and then you abandon her. So now she's been abandoned from her birth parents in our system. She's been abandoned by this girl who recruited her, and then she's abused and traumatized, and most of these girls have never had a sexual experience.
My God.
Until they've been tricked like this.
Until they've been tricked.
And
right,
so,
right, right.
Yes, until they're tricked and manipulated. And the story, and you think that, and a lot of times our kids, we have to understand the cognitive makeup of them. Your brain isn't fully developed until you're like 25 or 26 years old.
Right.
So that reason and logic in the frontal lobe, as much as we can tell our kids to say no, we usually raise kids to be compliant and to respect. respect and to not to say no. I mean, you you're supposed to listen. So, and a lot of kids are people pleasers. They want to please because we teach our kids sometimes, and I don't know if it's a double sword where, you want to do things to honor me, to please me. So they come up with this makeup of wanting to please. And you know kids will say, just like you said, only if you knew the power of the word no. We know right from wrong, but when we have that pressure of wanting to fit in, wanting to belong, we put ourselves in dangerous situations that we have no way of getting out. And so that's why it's important as a part of the treatment is to role play, is to come up with scenarios because, and I like what you said, I'm very solution-based oriented. I just don't want to talk about a problem. I want to come to a full circle and how do we begin to put things into action. So I think a lot of times we address the abuse, but do we give them actual things that work of role-playing? Because kids are very visual. I mean, young people, we're very visual.
Right.
And so if you're telling me scenarios and you're just talking clinical to me, but you're not actually allowing to role-play, and to see my thinking, because a lot of times we think kids got it and that they're smart, but they don't. And when you, and this is their favorite line, I got this. And my next line to them is, what you got? Tell me your plan.
What you got? Yeah. What you got? Let me bring in Minister Carolyn.
They'll say, yeah, they say, I
got
know
this.
Better.
That's a lot of it. Mr. Carolyn.
Yeah, and you know you have kids that say, well, I know it. I know it. Well, what do you know? Tell me what you know. And we don't ask those questions. And then when you ask them, well, tell me what you know. You know, I know how to take care of myself. Well, tell me the plan of taking care of yourself.
Right.
And you know what you'll find? They don't know. They don't know. But the gang members are very, very involved with trafficking now. And you have it across the board. You have the Asian gangs. You have the Mexican gangs, you have the African American gangs, you know, you have the Russians, you have so many facets of different types of gang members. And even now, as you think about organized crime of, you know, people high rank, no, you have right in South Central, right in areas that, you know, that you wouldn't even think that had people that were, you know, kids who go home every day, go to school, go home, and at night they're going out. And one of the other things that the gang members were doing is they were videotaping these girls who had not been solicited for human trafficking, but they videotaped them having sexual acts with them. And then that's how they start blackmailing them. I'm going to send this to your parents. I'm going to put this at school. So we found girls getting involved because of they were being black. They start getting in the game because they were allowing that guy who they thought was their boyfriend to videotape them in sexual acts, to take pictures of them, and then saying that they were going to put them out. We had gang members buying girls' purses, designer bags for trafficking. You know,
right.
So it was designer bags, designer shoes. And parents, you go to a parent house and this kid's got, a $200 purse. And you're like, okay, you didn't buy it. Then where do you think they got it from? And parents don't ask, well, I thought she said it was her friends. No, when I was growing up, you couldn't bring anything in the house without your mother saying who, what, when, where, and take it back.
I remember I stole something from the store once, got home, went in the garage and opened up. My mother came out there. She said, what is that? She said, I told you not to. Took me back to the store, made me go to the manager and turn it back in.
Uh-huh.
Oh, what
but
an embarrassing thing. And then when I got home, by the time my father got home, beat the heck out of me. And I deserved it. Let's take a moment. Let me get Minister Carolyn back in here. We got about 15 minutes left. And we want to give her an opportunity. I know she had a little feedback on her phone. Mr. Carolyn, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I am back. And I just wanted to say it was an awesome show. And where I am at this point is I want to get more in tune with these young girls that are out there. And I have two, I'm not going to disclose their names. They are from different states, and they are gang members. So I wanted them just to briefly state how the drug trafficking is, maybe within their individual states or within the gang, you know, if it's tolerated, if it's not. So I just wanted to give them a second just to respond. So I'm going to have one of them on my phone right now.
Amen.
This is our roving reporter out on the scene, Minister Carolyn. Good morning.
You're here on the line. I want to see where I'm from. My name, well, where I'm from, I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We don't really have too much out of that going on. Well, it used to come from Atlanta, Georgia. But it's going on a lot later, where they coming from Atlanta to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and trying to recruit young females.
Okay, but you're coming from a bigger city to a smaller area.
Smaller area, and we don't tolerate that down there where I'm from. So this really new to us. They coming from Atlanta into my city trying to do it, but this is kind of new to me. I used to see stuff like that on TV all the time. I didn't think it hit my city.
Right, right. In Chattanooga, yeah, that's right. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on board, man, and sharing the part with us.
The other one.
Hello.
Good morning.
Top of the morning. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, excellent. Blessed.
Yeah, that part. All right. So where I'm from Detroit, Michigan. That human trafficking is real bad where I'm from. I've seen it growing up. Where I'm from and the people I hang around with, we don't partake in that. You know, that's unexceptional. You know, I have two young daughters myself, so you know that's a touchy subject in my heart, you know.
Right. And old school and even OGs from the old school, that's intolerable, you know, to exploit that way. It was a whole nother game, but now it seems like it's growing on a new younger level.
Yeah, most definitely. It appears that the younger gang members nowadays, they're to the point where they'll tell you in a minute, like, to hell with an OG. What's they gonna do to me?
Oh man, look, I know that.
Like, before in neighborhoods, it used to be like we respected our G's like we respected our parents. You know, a lot of people, just on the strength of your reputation, determined, you know, if they were fearful enough of you not to do certain things around you. But now the kids of today, they're different. It's more like they're running their own show, and I think that's why there are so many senseless murders and killings, because they're going off like just straight renegades. And the same for the sex trafficking, as to why are these things being allowed and tolerated in neighborhoods? Why? Because there's nothing you could do. You know, these young kids might pull a gun out on you. You try to go tell
no,
one of their
say,
girls.
No, what you say, Mike? They will pull a gun out on you. Even pastors, believe me, out there, they strapped up and be like, hey, man, look, we're going to tell you one time, bro. You're a pastor, right? All right, man, go on, shake dust. Get out of here. And you better go on about your business, because there's no respect. There's no there's just a different thing. I believe, and we go back, I think the epidemic of crack cocaine killed a lot of traditions and a lot of things that were solid in the neighborhoods, and changed the whole revelation of a family and camaraderie. Now it's a wild, wild west out there, and everybody's on their own turf doing their own thing. But I think it starts with us still getting the message out there to stop it and to not be afraid to speak out. I appreciate everybody that came on board tonight. this morning. We got about 9 minutes. Is there somebody else out there that had a comment, question, something that you would like to share this morning? Go ahead and dial one. We'd like to bring you in. Any last remarks from you ladies? Come on.
I wanted to say when both you and Smith and Carolyn were talking about the disrespect, if you look at it, and you said this something about this last week, it's getting to the root. Well, you get to the root issue, and you think about the generation that's now, that's the new gang member, who they were raised by. And as you were saying about the crack epidemic, who was selling the drugs on this? It was kids that were out there that they had selling drugs. So when you have that generation, they lost respect because it was they were selling it to adults who
exactly.
they looked up to. And so when you go back, and every generation has to be responsible. And like I tell people with music today, people will say, why we have music like this? Well, you know what? If you go back and listen to Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing, if it wasn't that generation, you know, it's like, listen, when you go, and so it's like we want to blame the kids today, but we got to take responsibility and
That's
go
right.
all the way back to when crack hit our community, and
That's
it was
right.
young kids that, remember, used to go to the gas station, it was the young kids that washed your windows, and then
yeah.
the young kids stopped washing your windows, it became the adults who were on drugs. So
That's
that
right.
transition, so they were being raised by people who they had no foundation of respect for. So now today,
because crack took the respect, because when you
yes.
got sprung on it, you do anything for it. And the people who had it were
yes.
the young kids. And here you begging. I used to see that, you know, be out there. You be like,
yes.
dude, why don't you tell dude to stop coming to me? I'm like, what, man? I don't
yes.
control him. He said, dude, man, he gonna make me do something to him. And I'm like, dude, he old enough to be your daddy. I said, man, but you look at the reaction to change, you know, and in that era, we gave away power, even in marriages,
and so
even
you
in
have
families.
I had my granddaughter address somebody as Mr. And that person said, no, she doesn't have to. She can call me so-and-so. I said, no, she can't.
Yeah.
And then I had to step back and see they never were taught to call someone Mr. and Mrs. And so they figured, well, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a person
right,
of the court.
Right,
yes,
right.
You are. You
right.
are an adult, but this child needs to be able to, decipher between you being Mr. or Mrs. You know,
right.
and I had to have that conversation with this person saying, no, it's not okay for you. You're an adult. And so, again, you know, going back over to the things with kids not respecting, not having honor. And even when I've talked to inmates in prison who've been there a long time, they're like, I'm focused to try to get out of here because these new generations of kids who are young people who are coming in here, they don't have any, they don't care. We used to have Minister Carolyn was saying, a hierarchy. Those
right.
days are kind of dwindling.
Oh, they're gone. Mm-hmm. Triple OG don't mean nothing. It might get you in trouble. Minister Carolyn, welcome to Real Talk with Pastor Ian, Minister Terry, excuse me. Welcome to Real Talk with Minister Carolyn and myself.
Good morning, my beautiful family. You know,
good morning,
commend,
my beautiful sister.
Yes, yeah, glory be to God. I commend the woman of God that told us, you know, her telling us the information about the snatch and grab and the branding, because that's going on, like she said, that's going on right around us in inner cities. And I was listening, Pastor E, to the young men for not condoning the ones from Detroit and Tennessee, for not condoning the behavior, because, you know, we need more men to step up to the plate and do this because, like he said, he has a daughter. You have a sister.
Right.
You have a mother. So it's respect. But a lot of it, going back, a herder said that her granddaughter was calling the man Mr. A lot of us going back to generational, they're dropping a ball on respect. And that's what it comes down to, learning to respect one another. And we used to have respect in the hood for being older. But nowadays, youngsters, they will come up to you and they will challenge you. So we have a lot of work to do. And I was listening
right.
to Pastor E when you said that young lady out there said she had the women out there. But we have to look at it too. Some of these women out there, they're pimping. Are human trafficking other women but they're not really women themselves. So, glory be to God, we have a lot
That's
of
right.
work to do. We pray
yes,
against
we
all
this
sin.
That's right.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen. This is, you know what, Pastor E, I love what you said earlier, too. We have to have that spirit of sin. No.
It's one of my favorite words. Look, that's one of my favorite words now.
I'm telling you, this
top of my vocabulary.
That's what the kids learn first from growing up, you know, how to say no. So we have
but
to
did you, but,
to
but
that.
Did you shout, but did you hear what the woman of God said? Then we stop them. You don't tell me no.
Yeah.
You please
no.
me. You do things
yeah.
to make me happy. So now we instilled up. Well, now she shocked me. That one slapped me upside the head because I was like,
oh, yeah.
Ooh, we are so guilty because we do that.
Yeah.
And then we want them to honor
yeah.
us and do everything to please us, and they become people pleasers. But it started with us. Oh, we got a lot
yes,
of work to do.
True.
Oh, my God. Look, we got about three more
Amen.
Minutes. Anybody else out there
Amen.
Have a
God
comment?
God bless you, our family.
No,
love you all.
Bless you too, Minister Terry. Anybody else out there got a comment, question? I want to give you an opportunity. Minister Terry, if you guys have a closing remark, I mean, Minister Carolyn, why am I getting you guys mixed up today? Minister Carolyn, if you guys have a closing remark, go ahead and let's utilize this time.
I just want to say thank you for coming and participating. And again, thank you, Enoko, for all the vital information that you're giving to us. And
oh,
I pray
no problem.
That we're able to make a difference together, work together, hang out together, or do something in this field where we could make a difference out on the street.
And I commend those young men for coming on the phone. May God open up every door of blessing, whatever you're going through, that he shows you favor and shine on you. And for you, Carolyn, being brave to let people know that we just want to hear your voice. We want to hear your story. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be full of statistics. But nobody can tell your story like you. So I commend those young men
yes.
for coming
yes.
on. And for that one guy, the one young man stating he had a daughter, I honor you as a father. That really touched me. And
yes.
I hope that they continue to talk. So I really hope that God takes this radio show international. So you guys are doing amazing work. Amazing work.
Well, thank you so much. I want to say to the two young men that this was not by mistake. This wasn't something mysterious. This was a miraculous move of God that you were able to release your voices. And do not never be held in because of only two words or 50. Let your voice be heard, but also let your experiences now turn into your victory. And no matter what it is that you're endeavoring and what you're going through right now, you're here in California, so I know you're not at home, not probably not where you probably need to be, but I thank God that he's moving and going to do some miraculous things in your life through this connection with Minister Carolyn, and not just her, but her throughput to Jesus Christ. So I want to pray that the Lord just
Amen.
Opens up the windows of heaven and bless you with new vision, new purpose, new desire, and new obedience. To not follow yourself or follow man, but to follow God and to become the man that you're really it was called to be. God is not finished with you. It's not over. You're not washed up. You're not thrown away. What you are just a saint in holding, waiting to be released. I dare you and decree over your life that you release right now the new you, the new man, the new name, and the new vision. And in Jesus' name, we pray for you and believe with you that it's done, finished, and complete. God bless you, family, for joining us today here on Now Network for the Real Talk with Pastor E. We're going to ask you guys to come on back next week. We can continue this discussion. A lot of good information going forward, but we want to be able to, as we've all came into agreement, is to come back each week with something stronger that's going to become purposeful in each and every one of our lives, that we really are different than we came. God bless you guys. Know that you are loved.
Oh, and
honored
one thing,
and appreciate
one thing, Pastor, he must
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
You have me. I just want to say we have one birthday back here, too. One of the fathers.
Okay. Amen.
So
go ahead and sing
happy birthday.
Thank you. Go on and sing him happy birthday, Mr. Carolyn.
Oh, God. I can't sing. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy. Well, happy birthday, young man, and God bless you and enjoy your day.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you Monday for Let's Talk Jesus, 6 p.m.
Amen.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.